Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good afternoon to you. Wonderful to be in your company today. It is Wednesday. It is the third day of Kislev. And, of course, it is the 4th of December. Now, why it's significant that we mention the 4th of December, we will hear about a little bit later on in the show. There is something significant about the 4th of December. It is probably the only date other than the 4th and the 5th of December, or sometimes the 5th and the 6th, depending on your Siddur, that is actually mentioned in an instruction in the Siddur. And perhaps you need to listen up to know exactly why and why it is that we mention these dates. What are these dates all about? And what has it got to do with us? And what has it got to do with Judaism 101.9? Who actually cares or minds that it's the 4th of December from a Jewish point of view? Well, we do. There is something significant about it, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But let's get to what we always like to start the show with, a few interesting facts of the next few days, what's coming up, what anniversaries, what special occasions we are commemorating in Jewish history. And of course, there are several of them. There are many of them. I'd just like to pick out one or two that resonate with me, or that I hope resonate with you, of things that kind of give a little bit more meaning to a particular day or date. If we think now about the 3rd of Kislev, which is today, it actually commemorates the day on which, in the time of the Hasmoneans, with the Greeks coming into the Beit HaMikdash, into the temple, in the time of Yehuda Maccabee and the whole Hanukkah story. Well, here we get a head start on Hanukkah in a way, because it was on the 3rd of Kislev in the year 139 before the Common Era, in other words, in the Jewish year 3622, that the Hasmoneans cleared the temple from the idolatrous images that had been placed there. So the Hellenists and the Syrian Greeks, or Assyrian Greeks as they were known then, that it came into the Beit HaMikdash, they set up and they put all sorts of idols. These were cleared on the 3rd of Kislev, and of course all to do with the Hanukkah story, which is coming up in a few short weeks' time. If we fast forward to tomorrow, the 4th of Kislev, we have here something to do with Mashiach. The prophet Zechariah made special mention of the Messianic era, of the coming of Mashiach, on this day in the year 352 before the Common Era, which is the Jewish year 3410. What happened was a delegation from Babylonia put a query out to the prophet Zechariah asking whether the fast of the 9th of Av was still in effect now that the second Beis HaMikdash had been built. So you think about it. The fast of Tisha B'Av is there to commemorate the destruction of the temples. We know it to be the day on which the temples, both temples, were destroyed. The first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. We can understand that it became a fast of Tisha B'Av for the duration of the period of time between the two temples. But what happened once the second Beis HaMikdash had been built? So this was a question. Second Beis HaMikdash is now standing. There are people still left in Bavel, in Babylon. And Zechariah, the prophet, is asked whether the fast of the 9th of Av would still be in effect. And in response, he transmitted God's message that it was not fasting that was most important, but to uphold justice, truth, kindness, and compassion. So a clear instruction from Zechariah that we needed to make sure that we took care of, that we made sure that we were not involved in all the things that actually caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, hatred for one another, idol worship, etc. We needed to make sure that all of those things were not there. It was more important, in other words, he was saying, to behave well and to make sure that our behavior was right and correct and fitting, because if not for that, the second Beis HaMikdash would also be destroyed. So we needed to make sure that we took care of those facts and those things, and it wasn't the fasting that was of paramount importance. And so therefore it seems that Zechariah was telling them they didn't need to fast at in those days. And he foretold what will occur to the fast in the days of Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, of course, we'll have the Beit HaMikdash back. And he told us, he said, He says, if you take a look in Zechariah 7:8, it says, "So says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the 17th of Tammuz, and the fast of the fifth month, which is the 9th of Av, the fast of the seventh month, the 3rd of Tishrei, or as we know it, Tzom Gedalia, and the fast of the 10th month, the 10th of Tevis, which is coming up next month, will be to the house of Yehuda, to the Jewish people, for rejoicing, happiness, and festivals." So we understand from here that it was actually on this day that there was some kind of a proclamation about the fact that when Mashiach comes, Tisha B'Av and the other fasts that commemorate sadness and destruction will all be turned around to be made days of joy, of simcha, of merrymaking, of celebration for Biat Mashiach. If we take a look at the next day, which is actually Friday, the 5th of Kislev, here we have a Yahrzeit date that is commemorated, and that is of a famous rabbi known as the Maharsha. The Maharsha, who was Rabbi Shmuel Eliezer Edels, his name was. He lived from 1555 to 1631. He was known as the Maharsha. He authored a highly regarded and widely used commentary on the Talmud and its primary commentaries, Rashi and Tosfos. Great sage, great teacher, great rabbi, and of course his incredible insights are studied today in all yeshivas around the world. Today is the 5th of Kislev, will be the Yahrzeit of this great tzaddik. If we go forward to Sunday, the 7th of Kislev, here we had the death of King Herod. Now, King Herod lived at about the time of the beginning of the Common Era, 3760. And he actually died on the 7th of Kislev in the year 3760 or 1 before the Common Era. It was the death of Herod, king of Yehuda. Herod seized the rule from the Hashmonaim after killing them all, and fearing that the rabbis would challenge his authority, he killed them, leaving only Baba ben Buta alive. And later, out of remorse for his cruelty, he had the Holy Temple completely renovated, and so very often known as Herod's Temple, the temple that Herod built.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. This is Rabbi Michael Katz, Judaism 101.9. Great to be in your company this afternoon. It is now 2:25 on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Rather warm here in Joburg, I guess. You're feeling it. Hope you have the advantage of being in as cool an air-conditioned studio as I am in at the moment. So it's quite wonderful. Maybe I'll stay here for the rest of the day. Quite a beautiful environment. Now, we are thinking about things that are happening during this coming week. And of course, the last one that I would like to just tell you about is that on the 9th of Kislev, which is coming up next week, we have the birthday and the passing of Rabbi Dov Ber of Lubavitch, passed away in born in 1773 and passed away in 1827. Excuse me, so the 9th of Kislev is the birthday and the passing of Rabbi Dov Ber of Lubavitch, the son of and the successor to the founder of Chabad Hasidism, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Rabbi Dov Ber was known for his unique style of broadening rivers, as was known. His teachings were the intellectual rivers to his father's wellspring, lending breadth and depth to the principles that were set down by the Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, who was his father. He was born in Liozhna in White Russia and named after Rabbi Shneur Zalman's mentor and teacher, Rabbi Dov Ber of Mezritch, or also known as the Mezritcher Magid, who had passed away on the 19th of Kislev of the previous year. Now, Rabbi Dov Ber assumed the leadership of Chabad upon his father's passing in 1812, and in 1813, he was the one who settled in the town called Lubavitch, which was to serve as the movement's headquarters for 102 years. And in 1826, he was arrested on charges that his teachings threatened the imperial authority of the Tsar, but was subsequently exonerated. Interesting to note that all the Rebbes of Chabad were arrested at some stage during their tenure, during their lives. They were all thrown into jail for the charges of spreading, speaking about, practicing, teaching Judaism. All of them, some under the Tsar and some under communism, somehow always managing to be on the wrong side of and seemingly to be opposed to the government of the day. Rabbi Dov Ber passed away on his 54th birthday, only 54 years old, in 1827. It was a day before his first anniversary of his liberation from that imprisonment on those trumped up charges. So interesting times that we have in the coming week, interesting things that we are commemorating, some of them I think giving us a lead to be able to say that this is a time of light being spread, of the cleansing of the bad stuff that was placed in the temples and in our lives, like with the Chashmonaim, who cleared out the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. And then, of course, things about Geula, about redemption, the redemption of Rabbi Dov Ber, thinking about his life and about that Geula, that redemption, thinking about, of course, the redemption and the rebuilding of the temple with the Herod and so on, and then of course thinking, of course, about the flood, or rather not the flood, the story with Zechariah and the idea of the ninth of Av not being a day anymore when Mashiach comes, being a day of sadness, but rather a day of joy that'll be turned into when Mashiach will come. We will celebrate those days. And that's why it's often mentioned that Tisha B'Av will be a day on which Mashiach is most likely to come. Right at the beginning of the show, I told you that we are thinking today about the fact that it is the 4th of December. And that's most unusual. And it does strike one as being rather odd when you take a look through our Siddur, and you take a look through all Jewish holy books, and you hear rabbis talking about it. You know, I, for one, often speak about the fact that I find it strange, and it is strange, it is a little odd, the way we are as Jews, that we will celebrate, let's call them secular or non-Jewish birthdays, the birthdays according to the secular calendar. We'll celebrate wedding anniversaries according to the secular calendar. And yet, when it comes to a Yahrzeit, everybody agrees and everybody understands that that is celebrated or commemorated not on the secular date, but rather on the Jewish date. Why do we only think about things that have got to do with death, dying, departure of the souls, why do we only think about those as having a connection to the Jewish day? Surely our birthday is the day on which our soul was designated to come into this world, and that should be the Jewish date. It's not whatever day it is in December or January or February or March or etc., but rather when it is in Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. Those should be your birthdays. Remember, it's got something to do with our souls. If we're thinking about the Yahrzeit, where the soul goes from this world to the next, well, surely we should be thinking about when the soul came into this world as a soul, rather than just thinking about it in terms of the secular calendar, which by and large was structured and put together around non-Jewish dates and very much under the influence of the Catholic Church. The Gregorian calendar, of course, derived from and devised by Pope Gregory, and therefore it seems strange to me, certainly it seems strange to most Rabbonim, I guess, and strange to Judaism per se, that we think so highly of these, let's call them non-Jewish or secular dates. We should rather be thinking in terms of Jewish dates. Those are our real birthdays, those are our real anniversaries, those are our real Yahrzeit dates, the days of the Jewish calendar. Of course, we're Jewish, that goes without saying that those are the dates that we should be commemorating. Your birthday, you should find out what it is. You know, today it's so simple. You just have to put it into Google, and you put in the non-Jewish date and the day, or the day that you were born, or the day of the anniversary. You just put it in there and you ask for the Jewish date, and bingo, it pops up. It comes there. It is incredible and easy and readily at our fingertips. You don't anymore have to go and ask your rabbi. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to do anything fancy. You can just have it in the palm of your hand on your particular device. Now, we then think about how strange it is that, having said all of that and punting the Jewish calendar and the Jewish dates, where suddenly this day, December 4th, 5th, 6th are these days are mentioned in the Siddur. Open your Siddur and take a look in the Amida, whether it is Shachrit, Mincha, or Ma'ariv, of any particular Mincha, Ma'ariv, or Shachrit. You have a look and you see, when you come to the Brocha Barech Aleinu, where we're talking about the blessings for the land, for the produce, and so on, we have there an instruction that tells us when we change from saying V'tein Bracha to V'tein Talumatar, and when we change from saying V'tein Talumatar to V'tein Bracha. Bracha meaning blessing. Tein Talumatar, talking about the rain. When do we actually change that? And you'll see that if it is between Pesach and Shmini Atzeret that we say V'tein Bracha, and then also when it comes to from Shmini Atzeret up until when we're talking about the first ones, there are actually two. There are two times that we mention rain in the Amidah, so let's not get ourselves confused. The two times that rain is mentioned. First of all, the most commonly known, Mashiva Ruach Morida Geshem. Mashiva Ruach Morida Geshem, some say, is mentioned first. There it says, and it sometimes gets confusing, because they talk about summer and winter, and of course we're in the southern hemisphere, and therefore our summer and winter is transposed. We have it the other way around. So if you're going from Pesach to Shmini Atzeret, it is one way. If you go from Shmini Atzeret to Pesach, it is another way. When we come then to the Brocha Barech Aleinu, we see that there is a difference. And we talk there about the fact that from the 4th or the 5th of December, we start saying V'tein Tal Umatar, and we say that all the way through to till Pesach, and then from Pesach up until the 4th or 5th of December, we are saying V'tein Bracha. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying V'tein Bracha. It's a wonderful thing. We're talking about blessings. But there is something significant about saying V'tein Tal Umatar, and by the way, this only applies in the diaspora. It doesn't apply in Israel. We did speak about this a few weeks ago, but for those who need a refresher, a few weeks ago we mentioned that in Israel, on the 7th of Cheshvan, they start saying V'tein Talumatar. And that is that they start imploring, pleading with God to actually send rain. We've got to remember that the first time that we say it in our prayers, that we say Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGashem, depending on your nusach, that God causes the wind to blow and the rains to fall. When we say that, we are praising God for doing that. We're saying God is the one who makes the winds blow and God is the one who makes the rain falls. When it comes to this blessing, though, that we're talking about now specifically, the Brocha Barech Aleinu, we are here pleading with God, please send us this blessing. Send us general blessings for all our produce. But now we want to start asking you, God, to send us specifically the blessings of rain. In Israel, the rainy season actually, we're told, goes from a particular time to a particular time. And it is really from the 7th of Cheshvan, 7th of Cheshvan, which was a few weeks ago, all the way through till Pesach. That's kind of the rainy season, I guess. If you go to Israel now, rains are starting to fall, and they are around and about during the winter months in Israel. We, however, outside of Israel, only start saying this blessing for rain, or the supplication, imploring God to send rain, from the evening before the 5th of December. In a regular year, the evening before the 6th of December, if it is a secular leap year that we're going into. Now, there is no 29th of February coming up in this coming year, and therefore we opened to tonight. Yes, tonight at Ma'ariv, on the 4th of December at night, once we go into the 5th of December tonight, we change and we start imploring, supplicating God to please send us rain. Now, we are not asking God necessarily to send us rain here in Joburg. What we really are doing is we're asking God to send rain in the Northern Hemisphere, because that's really the place where the majority of Jews reside, and particularly through Israel. All our blessings come through Israel. We face towards Israel when we pray, when we daven. It is through there that it all comes, and therefore our direction is towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Israel. We're praying for rain to fall in Israel. Now, The fact of the matter is that this was something that also went back to the time that we were in Babylon. Now, Babylon, the area of Bovil, of Babylon, which is Iran, Iraq, that sort of neighborhood, got its rains at a different time, and therefore it was deemed when the Jews were in Babylon that they should only start from now, which was their rainy season. And it became something that was customary and therefore sort of written into our law that from tonight, from the day before the 5th of December, anywhere outside of Israel, this is the day that we change, that we start praying for that. Now, our focus really is for the Northern Hemisphere. Just remember, while it may be rainy season in the summer months in Joburg, it's not necessarily the rainy season during the summer months in Cape Town. Generally, the rainy season in the Northern Hemisphere is now. We are davening, we're praying that in the Northern Hemisphere, where the majority of Jews reside, where we have our holy land of Eretz Yisrael, we hope that God will send his rains and the rains of blessing and the rains of bracha, the rains of peace, the rains of unity should shower upon Eretz Yisrael. And we really start begging God, imploring God from tonight at Ma'ariv in our prayers to please send rain.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. In general terms, the calendar, the Jewish calendar, is worked out to perfection. I'm sure you've heard the chazan or the rabbi in your shul announcing before you do Birkat HaChodesh on Shabbat Mevarchim, where we bless the new month, that we announce what is known as the Molad, otherwise known as the first time that the new moon would have been sighted over Yerushalayim, over Jerusalem, is determined as the beginning, actually, of the month. And you will notice that Rosh Chodesh is sometimes in the middle of that or addended to that, to that time, to that date. This is how the calendar functions, this is how it works. Now, if we think about those announcements, you'll know that it is actually divided into much smaller parts than we are used to. You have days, you have hours, and you have what they call chalakim. You have partitions, parts. If you take a look in the Rambam, where he writes about Kiddush HaChodesh, Maimonides gives us a whole mathematical calculation. It is not only fascinating, but it's actually quite difficult for a mere layman to follow and to think about the fact that all of this was calculated without calculators and computers and so on. Absolutely fascinating, but they turned out an absolutely perfect calendar. Now, the secular calendar is not so perfect, an imperfect calendar. And the secular calendar, let's just put it in simple terms, is actually losing time. Now, it's not a lot of time that it loses, but it is a day over 100 years. Now, that would also mean that at the end of each century, at the turn of each century, actually, in the secular calendar, the date that we're talking about here, the 5th and the 6th, or the 4th and the 5th of December, would have to move. It would become one day later, because we're actually moving the season away from where it was originally. It just keeps on receding or moving by a day. And so therefore, it would stand to reason that at the end of this century, there would have been a change as well, but it didn't happen in the year 2000. It is going to happen in the year 2100, I believe. In the year 2100, there will be a change. And then in a regular year, the prayer for rain on the night of the 4th of December will actually skip and it will go to one day later. So it's quite fascinating that this is all going to change in the coming, 70, 80 years from now. I guess many of us, hopefully, we hope we'll still be around to see it. And obviously, Mashiach coming, we should all be around and hopefully be able to see that change that is going to happen in the year 2000. 100. Something to look forward to. Huh? They're going to have to reprint certain instructions in our Sidurim at that stage. But I guess it's a problem that Jews then are going to be able to deal with and have to run with. So just out of interest, a perfect Jewish calendar versus a slightly imperfect Gregorian, Julian, or secular calendar is topical today, tonight, tomorrow, because of this date, the 4th and the 5th of December. And now you know why it is mentioned in the Siddur, is because it's got to do with the seasons, the rainy season. And of course, all seasons are dictated by the sun rather than by the moon.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So we're headed towards a time of light. I've mentioned it before. It's worth mentioning again if we take the words of the Torah from Bereshit Bara, right in the beginning of the creation of the world, we see that the 25th word of the Torah is the word Or. Yehi Or. God said, let there be light. And what was that light? The light, we are told, was put away for the future. What does it mean that it was put away for the future? Some say it was put away for a time when we'll be able to see things differently. You know, we'll be able to look sort of with X-ray vision at souls and not only see the outer frame of everything and everybody. We'll be able to see the neshama, we'll be able to see the light that is within. There are others who say that, in fact, it was put away for the souls of each individual, that it was kind of the spiritual essence that was partitioned off and given to each and every one of us. But some others tell us that, in fact, it was a reference to Chanukah. The fact that in the future there would be a chag, there would be a festival, a time where we would celebrate light, the festival of lights, the triumph of light over darkness, the triumph of the menorah over the entire world, and the beauty of light and how light can spread and how a little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. All of this comes to fruition when we think about the fact that Chanukah occurs on the 25th day of Kislev. Yes, only 21 odd days to go until we have the beautiful celebration of Chanukah. Beautiful. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Incredible. The idea of thinking about how light and the miracle of light is so brilliant and so beautiful and so perfect and so wonderful. And it is the 25th day of Kislev and the 25th word in the Torah. So Chanukah kind of learnt out from the Torah because it's not specifically mentioned in Torah. Of course, a festival that came about later, but it was set up there that the 25th word of the Torah is Or, light, and Chanukah is that festival of light. The link, 25th of Kislev, 25th word in the Torah, there is something in that. And we look forward to a month that is filled not only with the light of Chanukah, but all the light that we can create through our performance of mitzvot, through our learning of Torah, through our doing of good things. It creates light. It brings about the light of positive energy, the light of positivity, the light of goodness, the light of kindness. And that light surely will dispel all the darkness that somehow has been surrounding us for a little too long in this diaspora, and particularly over the last year. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place, please God, next week. Meantime, wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead, and wish you well until the next time that we chat on Judaism 101.9.